KJAN Sports.
It is time for Jacob Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Well, Iowa was no match for number 15 Purdue in its Big Ten opener last night. The Boilermakers raced out to a 25-10 lead, and they rolled to an 89-67 victory last night. Purdue connected on 10 of 17 from three-point range in the opening half.
You know, our offense was sideways from the beginning. I thought we didn't get a lot of clean looks. And then when they made the, you know, they jumped us, then we started quick shooting the ball, which is, you know, you just can't do that on the road. You can't try to get it all back at once.
That's Hawkeye coach Fran McCaffrey. Iowa was concerned about Purdue's size, but it was the Boilermakers' perimeter shooting that set the tone.
But I just thought our overall awareness to where people were on the perimeter, especially when we tried to go zone. You know, we went zone. We were in a little foul trouble with our bigs. Try to get some activity. Try to keep everything in front of you where you can see it. And they were moving people around, and we just... we weren't getting to the three-point shooter in time.
McCaffrey says his team fell apart early in a tough environment and needs to bounce back Sunday at home against Michigan.
So learn from that. Understand who we've got coming in. Really good team. A really good coach. Different kind of team. So now we've got to flush this one, get ready for that one, and we got to play together. We got to play together offensively and defensively and fight and manage the game a little bit better.
Peter Jock led Iowa with 13 points. The Hawkeyes fall to 8-6 on the season with that loss last night. Maurice Watson had 21 points and 10 assists. Four other Creighton players scored in double figures, and the 10th-ranked Blue Jays opened Big East play with an 89-75 win over Seton Hall last night. Kyrie Thomas and Justin Patton had 17 points each. Marcus Foster added 15, and Cole Huff had 13 for the Blue Jays, who are off to their best start since the 1942-43 team opened up 16-0. They're 13-0 overall on the season. They'll meet top-ranked Villanova in Omaha Saturday in a matchup of undefeated teams. Also, DaQuan Miller had 17 points. Elise Johnson had the double-double, and Missouri State held on to defeat Northern Iowa 68-64 in the Missouri Valley Conference opener Wednesday night after almost squandering a 24-point lead. The Bears had a 19-0 run and raced to a 32-8 lead at the 6:47 mark of the first half, capped by Ronnie Rosso III's three-pointer, their eighth to that point. Miller had three, Johnson and Ryan Kreklo two each, as the Panthers got the deficit down to 39-22 at halftime. But after shooting 32% in the first half, Northern Iowa shot 57 in the second, went 16 of 20 from the foul line, and forced the 11 early turnovers. The margin was 22 with 14 minutes left, but a 15-2 run cut it to 55-46 with 9:16 left. Eventually, a pair of layups by Jeremy Morgan made it a two-point game twice in the final 20 seconds, before some free throws by Kreklo iced it with 3 seconds left. Elsewhere in top 25 play last night, you can cross UCLA off the list of undefeated teams in Division I men's basketball. Dylan Brooks nailed a three-pointer with under a second left to send number 21 Oregon to an 89-87 win over the second-ranked Bruins. Brooks grabbed a missed free throw with 8.9 seconds left, dribbled to the right wing before scoring the last of his 23 points. Brooks also had 9 rebounds for the 12-2 Ducks. UCLA fell to 13-1. Meanwhile, top-ranked Villanova opened its Big East schedule, pulling out its 19th straight victory since last season's NCAA tournament. Josh Hart scored 25 points, and Jalen Brunson added 13 as the Wildcats got past DePaul 68-65. Also in the top 25, Devin Hall scored 10 points, and Kyle Guy nailed a big jumper with 2:02 left as 12th-ranked Virginia knocked off number 6 Louisville 61-53. Justin Jackson scored 28 points, and 9th-ranked North Carolina improved to 12-2, pounding Monmouth 102-74. Nebraska pulled off an 87-83 win over number 16 Indiana behind Glenn Watson, who had 26 points, and Ty Webster's 21. Number 17 Xavier thumped Providence 82-56. Also, 20th-ranked Florida State beat Wake Forest 88-72. Number 22, Southern California, picked up a 70-63 win against Oregon State. Also, was number 23, Cincinnati, beating Temple 56-50. And number 24, Notre Dame, 63-55 over St. Peter's last night. Wednesday wasn't kind of ranked college football teams in bowl action. Number 14, West Virginia's offense stalled against Miami, and 22nd-ranked Pittsburgh fell to a team that had just won one bowl game since Harry Truman was reelected. Miami ended a 10-year bowl drought with a 31-14 romp over the Mountaineers in the Russell Athletic Bowl. Brad Kaya tied a career high with four touchdown passes while completing 24 of 34 for 282 yards. West Virginia entered the game averaging more than 500 yards a game before the Hurricanes held the Mountaineers to just 229. Justin Jackson ran for 226 yards and three touchdowns, leading Northwestern's 31-24 win over Pittsburgh in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Jackson had TD runs of 8 and 16 yards in the second quarter, then went deep on a 40-yard burst in the third. It's just the third ever bowl win for the Wildcats following the 1948 Rose Bowl and the 2012 Gator Bowl. Jesse Ertz ran for two touchdowns and threw for another as Kansas State held off Texas A&M 33-28 to win the Texas Bowl. Ertz had a 79-yard touchdown pass and scoring runs of 1 and 5 yards to help give the Wildcats their first bowl victory since 2013. And Joe Williams ran for 222 yards and a touchdown, and Andy Phillips kicked a 27-yard field goal with a minute 24 left to lead Utah to a 26-24 win against Indiana in the Foster Farms Bowl in Santa Clara. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes hope the momentum generated by a three-game winning streak carries over to Monday's Outback Bowl against Florida. Junior offensive lineman Ike Butker agrees.
We're really just trying to take the same approach that we took those last 3 weeks, practice-wise. And then, you know, it was nice to have some off time and kind of get our bodies rejuvenated, I guess. But, you know, now we're kind of back in game prep, like opponent prep. You know, we were able to do a lot of Iowa work, just working on fundamentals and all that. And now we're just trying to take that same approach that we took those last three games.
Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says the Hawkeyes are adjusting to the heat in Tampa as they get ready for the Outback Bowl. The game day temperature is expected to top 80 degrees.
You don't want to wait till the last moment, obviously, to get down here just because of the weather change. But they had a chance to sweat yesterday a little bit, sweat today. And, you know, it's kind of the first couple of days. Anytime you go to a bowl site that's usually not perfect, it's kind of like coming back after a break, you know, is. As long as you do it, you think you'd figure it out, but no, it never looks perfect the first couple of days getting back into it. But we'll have plenty of time to get acclimated.
Iowa will be out to snap a four-game losing skid in bowl games as both Iowa and Florida are 8-4, and their success has been built on defense.
I've always believed in any sport, if you can play defense, it gives you a chance. And that's one of the reasons we were able to be successful in November. We didn't play so well defensively the first game of the month, but then we started to do it a little bit better. And you know, you look across the field, and that's certainly where we're looking at a team that's been really good on defense the last 2 years, and, you know, they certainly are going to be a big foe for us that way.
Florida coach Jim McElwain calls the Iowa program a model of consistency.
Every year, you know, this is one of those schools that you get an opportunity to play. You look forward to it because it's a chance to test yourself against one of the best and one of the most consistent programs throughout college football.
McElwain says the Hawkeyes are an example of how good defense gives you a chance to win. We'll have that game Monday for you here on the radio with a 10 a.m. pregame noon kickoff. Randy Edsall is the University of Connecticut's head football coach once again, returning to the program that he ran from 1999 through 2010 before becoming Maryland's head coach. Edsall rebuilt the Huskies and went 70-63 with five bowl appearances at UConn, but he was just 22-34 in four-plus seasons with the Terrapins before he was fired six games into last season. He replaces Bobby Diaco, who went 11-26 over three seasons. In NFL news, Doug Martin's NFL career has been interrupted by the league. The Tampa Bay running back has been suspended four games for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances. The fifth-year pro says he will enter a treatment facility rather than appeal the ban. Martin ran for just 421 yards on 144 attempts this season after finishing second in the NFL with over 1,400 yards last year. Martin will miss Sunday's game and every NFC playoff game should the Bucs advance to the postseason. He'll sit out the first three games next year if Tampa Bay fails to make the playoffs this weekend. DeMarcus Ware needs season-ending back surgery that could spell the end of his NFL career. The Broncos have placed Ware on injured reserve, along with cornerback Kayvon Webster, who sustained a concussion last weekend at Kansas City. Ware took a big pay cut to return to the Broncos after winning his first Super Bowl ring, but he missed almost all of the offseason with back troubles. The 12-year veteran is sixth on the all-time sacks list with 138.5 after recording 4-10 games this season. And Baltimore receiver Steve Smith says he's 89% sure Sunday's game against Cincinnati will be the last of his 16-year career. That percentage coincides with his number. Although Smith spoke with deep emotion during his 10-minute media session, he did not formally announce his retirement. He did that prior to last season, but ended up changing his mind after tearing his Achilles tendon in Week 7. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.